Hello everyone, I'm Morgan and welcome to The Idiot Box. This is a podcast where we go through the Wikipedia article, list of television shows considered the worst, and I inflict one of them upon my poor friend Brett. How are you doing today, Brett?
Confused and scared, I'm not fully sure what's going on.
That's fine, we'll pick it up as we go. So, if we want to have a look at the Wikipedia article for this one. So, Come Back Mrs. Noah is a British television sitcom starring Molly Sugden of Are You Being Served, that aired on BBC One from the 17th of July to the 14th of August 1978, the pilot broadcast on the 13th of December 1977. It was written by Jeremy Lloyd and David Croft, who had also written Are You Being Served, which also starred Molly Sugden. Come Back Mrs. Noah was not a success, with some regarding it as one of the worst British sitcoms ever made. So it stars a number of people who you might have heard of. People including Ian Lavender from Dad's Army. So there's some, you know, there's some decent people in here. And there's also Gordon...
Sorry, go on.
There's also Gordon Kay from Hello, Hello, who played Renee.
I mean, as a fan of classic British sitcoms, on paper, like, this should be quite good. If we don't hear about Mrs. Noah's Pussy, I'm going to be incredibly upset.
So, I'll go into the plot.
Sorry, before we go on, Morgan, have you seen Are You Being Served? Did you get that at all? Or...
No, I've not.
Do I just sound weirdly... Okay, right, before we go into the plot, bit of background for those who haven't seen Are You Being Served. I'm here as hostage slash classic British sitcom expert, I think. Are You Being Served, set in a department store, and Molly Sugden played Mrs. Slocum, if I remember rightly, woman with pink hair who constantly complained about her pet cat always being referred to as her pussy being wet or damaged or broken or stretched out, or that might just be the fanfic I read, but definitely mentioned her pussy being wet several times. So yeah, it's not just me being horny for Molly Sugden this time.
So the plot of the show. In 2050, British housewife Gertrude Noah wins a cookery competition and is awarded a tour of Britannia 7, the UK's new space exploration vehicle. The craft is accidentally sent blasting off into space with a crew consisting only of Mrs. Noah, proton physicist Carstairs, neutron physicist Fanshawe, light bulb changer Garstang, and BBC reporter Clive Cunliffe. The series then centres on efforts to bring them back to Earth. The programme Far and Wide, a parody of Nationwide, features frequent updates read by Gordon Kay. These reports present a reality in which Britain is the most successful nation on Earth, providing aid to countries like Germany and the United States. So this takes place from our point of view 26 years into the future. Do you think in 26 years' time, Britain will be the most successful country on Earth?
Britain won't exist in 25 years. I personally am rooting for Scotland, Wales and Cornwall to all gain independence and just force anyone who doesn't agree into the sea.
Because we've got...
Just pincer movement, but, you know.
We've got another 6 years and then probably at least 10 years of Keir Starmer. The UK is not going to be a world power in 26 years.
We're not a political podcast, but we will state from the off. Everything's fucked and it's not going to get better.
And it's all the Tories.
Just ever.
So.
Absolutely.
So the,
That doesn't mean we support the current Labour government. They can get fucked too. Just get that in quickly.
Potentially when this goes out. I don't know. So the series was apparently intended... basically for Molly Sugden to take her out of the sort of moany old woman role. co-writer David Croft was worried that others would soon start work on similar projects, so he rushed the idea past the BBC as soon as he could. Speaking to writer and historian Graham McCann years later, Croft recalled, "It speaks volumes about the flexibility of the BBC at that time, but we rushed it along without any opposition at all. One of my concerns when I spoke to head of comedy Jimmy Gilbert was that everyone would soon be trying to do something similar in this area because space was suddenly all the rage. So I was greatly bothered about the danger of duplication. So I told him that Jeremy and I had an idea that we really liked and that we wanted to do a pilot, but that the idea was so hot I preferred not to tell him what it was about. And Jimmy, to his eternal credit, didn't ask for a script. He didn't question it at all. He just told me to go ahead and do it." See, the thing, guys, I don't work in TV. But do you think that in this day and age you could just go to the BBC and say, "Hello, I've got an idea for a TV show. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. Can I have several hundred thousand pounds to make it?"
I mean, to be fair, have you seen Mrs. Brown's Boys? Because I'd believe it if Mrs. Brown's Boys.
And now it kind of was a accurate in some regard in that space sitcom would become a thing with Red Dwarf. This was 10 years before Red Dwarf aired. So I can kind of see where he was coming from. It, with sort of Doctor Who being so popular, it was kind of only a matter of time before Doctor Who but a sitcom became a thing.
Still better than Chibnall's Run.
Yeah, I mean, oh well, I don't know actually. This is the one thing, or maybe it's not. You'll have to see and decide for yourself.
To clarify, I've not seen this yet. Morgan has, and do you know what? Fuck it. Flag post time. Nail it to the flag boys. Whatever the phrase is, I'm still calling it better than Juvenile's Run.
I mean, yeah, you might be right. It is at least, it does at least know its shit. See, one of the things about this that I'm, like, thinking about, and you'll see this as we go, is it just, despite being in the future, it does feel very dated, which is kind of, you know, it's just going to happen with something so old. Because I don't know if we will, you know, housewives will be a thing in 2050.
They'll be all off to the breeding farms.
It'll be house husbands, and we'll, you know, men will be subjugated and forced to do work by the woke. That's what'll happen.
It'll be house femboy trad wives chained to the kitchen.
We can only hope.
See, the thing is, when we had a vague planning session for this, me and Morgan, Morgan mentioned quite a few titles and things to me, and oh, ladies and gentlemen, there are some doozies planned. But when I heard Noah, I expected there to be some sort of ship full of animals, spaceship full of animals, something like that. Like, the synopsis, this is the first I've fully heard about it. And I'm so confused why Mrs. Noah specifically.
This is one of the things,
like, without seeing it, like, why would you pick such a name? It's like calling her Mrs. Jesus and she runs out of bread and fish constantly. Like, that's not what that name's associated with.
It's an interesting thing because the Noah is a first name. It, you know, it, if it was like, "Come back, Mrs. Wilkinson," or whatever, then yeah, I'd agree. But it just feels like Mrs. Noah is just such a weird name to, for the character to have.
I mean, feel free to cut this out. I am going to do a quick Google on, like, Noah as a surname.
It is worth noting that this podcast is going to be incredibly ramshackle and, you know, held together with duct tape, glue, and hope.
So it's not as common as it was. In 2010, it was the ranked 6,384th most popular name in the UK, I think, over in the United States, with around 5,332 people with the surname. That's from 23andMe. So, unlike in the year 2000, it was 4,923 people, so it's either it's getting more and they're breeding, or this was just not a popular name then and it's somehow got... What if all of those 5,000 odd people got their surname because someone was really into Come Back Mrs. Noah and changed their name by deed poll?
And then fucked like rabbits for 50 years. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, if, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen and other listeners, be aware there may be a Mrs. Noah in your walls.
Please do write in if you know a Mrs. Noah or are yourself Mrs. Noah.
Come back, Mrs. Noah, stop climbing through my attic asking for the souls of my children. See, that's the gritty reboot A24 needs to do. Mrs. Noah, the unknowable creature.
Mrs. Noah haunts my teas made.
Oh, it's a shame Derek Acora's dead. He'd be fucking well up for that.
I reckon we should, at this point, have a watch of the episode and see what we think.
This week's sponsor, Newman, is your cock floppier than a fire hose? Does your missus look like a player spam? Can you only get it up watching 90s celebrities get hit in the face with squirty cream? Newman will make your wang work.
Come back after this short jingle. I've really fucked myself there. I'm going to have to write a jingle.
Are they awake?
I'm afraid this has come as a bit of a shock to you, Mrs. Noah.
It's come as a bit of a shock to all of us, isn't it?
I guess I think it does. I've left a chicken in the oven.
Did you have to go and leave me alone? Couldn't you drop a line or give me a phone?
Late. Only I got my heel caught in the moving pavement and I went right past the bus stop.
Right. Shall I be mother?
Oh, the things you men can do nowadays.
Booby Lassan.
Last year's Miss Universe. Didn't call her Booby for nothing, did they?
Now, look here. I'm protesting very strongly about this.
Yes, so am I. I'm just a rough in
So, what did you think of that?
What age rating are we going for on this thing?
18.
That was painful.
It was fucking ridiculous.
Right. Let me go through the bits I enjoyed, because there were bits I enjoyed. The bit where she flew into the air at the end really tickled me. I don't know why. Like, literally, like, when she launched, that was it. Like, when she started floating, that tickled me. The rest of it was tedious. And the
I think I mentally checked out.
The end theme song as well, I did quite enjoy.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was trying to figure out who'd written that, because the voice sounds familiar.
See, the thing is, the writers whose names have completely gone from my head just. Same people who did, if I remember rightly, Dad's Army.
Yeah, they've done between the two of them. So it was Jeremy Lloyd and David Croft, and between them they'd written I Been Served, Dad's Army, and It Ain't Half Hot Mum.
Yeah, the Dad's Army theme is a banger.
Yeah, but it's probably the same like seven people doing all these TV themes in the 70s.
It is a certified hood classic. But now I did quite enjoy the end theme. The fucking song, like I was going to say, the song and dance, the song I enjoyed. The dance was utter dog shit. It physically hurt.
The little fucking bow on the top of her space helmet.
Thoughts. Gordon Kay did Rene Artois so long that he just has a bit of a French accent now, clearly.
It damaged his brain beyond repair, I think.
I mean, I'm sure the severe car accident he was in also damaged his brain.
I didn't know about that. I'm so sorry, whatever your name is. Gordon Kay.
Gordon Kay. No, I think he was mostly okay afterwards. But yeah, no, he just does have a general bit of a bad French accent.
Okay, so I've made a few notes going through so I could remember little talking points for this section.
Okay.
So the opening music is very jaunty and not very spacey.
All of the music is very jaunty and not very spacey.
I'd assume, you know, for Red Dwarf, they have that big brass thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what it put me in mind of, thinking about it? Wallace and Gromit, the penguin one, the wrong trousers.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
There's a very specific piece of music that sort of... Well, to be honest, Wallace and Gromit music generally, but there's a bit in the middle of the wrong trousers where... Gromit realises it's a penguin, and I think it's like an old standard like beach song or something. Like it's an old standard piece of music, but like it's very reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
Spoilers, it kind of wrong trousers, it's a penguin.
I think when you're watching this, it's really hard not to compare it to Red Dwarf.
See, as someone a fan of classic British sitcoms, I just never got to Red Dwarf.
That was like...
When I say classic, I am talking like Hello, Hello, Fawlty Towers, Only Fools and Horses, On the Buses, Carry On films, like For My Sins. As much as they are at best questionable, I still enjoy them. Like Carry On Screaming is partly my... what made me who I am today.
Yeah, so I really got into Red Dwarf as a kid. And the, it's really, really, really hard for me not to watch this and go, oh, that's like Red Dwarf. Oh, Red Dwarf did that better. Oh, you know. The opening music is quite similar to the Red Dwarf theme. So, also, it's really hard to say Red Dwarf. I keep saying Red Dwarf. So that's the thing. So yeah, the Red Dwarf theme is kind of like jaunty and fun without being very spacey. But then they have some like, you know, spacey music as the ship flies by and whatever else. This was made 10 years before Red Dwarf. So for some historical context for this, if you think about it, man had landed on the moon sort of not even 10 years prior.
Or did they?
Tom Baker was the doctor. So, you know, you've got this...
Or was he?
You've got this Doctor Who influence in the, you know, you could, that's quite visible, I think, you know, the... Bloody, all the techno babble, I think, is very Doctor Who.
So you say that, or, as you said, are there just four people who worked at the BBC writing and directing the film and everything? So the people on this also did Doctor Who, most likely?
Yeah, there was probably at least a bit of crossover in, like, VFX department, because, you know, have we got anyone in here who can do a little wiggly hologram bit? Oh, Steve can. All right, sick. Because he's worked on Doctor Who. Excellent, let's get him in. At least he didn't have any, like, monsters made out of plastic bags. So another thing I've written about is how there's some jokes that are already out of date, which is great considering it's set in, like, 26 years from now. So there was one about, can the Deutschmark survive? No. No, it cannot. It's been replaced by the Euro.
So you say that, but there are some that are oddly precedent. Like the statue of Thatcher in Red Square, which absolutely could happen in the next 25 years.
Yeah, there's some in there that you're like, okay, that's quite funny due to how similar that is. Weirdly, some of the technology jokes kind of like, you know, it's all this technology, all the technology jokes, the standard joke is always going to be, oh, we invented this thing to make our lives much easier, but oh, you can't bloody work it. Oh, it won't understand me voice. Oh, it won't understand the input. That kind of thing. There's some things that they weirdly updated that just didn't feel like they needed to be updated. Like, where it's like, and this will take us 500 new feet into the air. New feet? What the fuck? You know,
decimalisation of feet.
It'll just be fucking metres by then. So they have this, like, automatically operated camera, which is a thing we do have now. You know, you just point a camera and say, track these faces, and it can do it. I think that's a thing.
Yeah.
But then, oh, it's looking at her tits. Oh, it's, you know, the camera's perving on her. And it's just like, yeah, is that the best you can come up with kind of thing? Then there was a brief section where it got weirdly racist. So it was like, you know, he had a watch
on.
Yeah,
I noticed that.
He had a watch on that was like, oh, you will be going up to the rocket in 10 of the seconds. And she's like, oh, it's French. It's like,
I mean, yeah. It's because they're Gordon Kay, like a native French speaker there. They had to use it.
You gotta get Gordon Kay in there. You know, gotta get French in there for Gordon Kay. And also there was a bit of racism where this guy, I don't even know what accent it was meant to be. Because I guarantee it was just a guy who was probably, you know, in fucking brown face, even though he wasn't on camera. Doing a fucking dodgy foreign accent of some kind. It's like, oh, this thing was made in Notting Hill Gate. Yeah, the other thing is, the funniest, and no, not the funniest joke, the joke that got the biggest reaction from the live studio audience laugh track, was the spaceship being called Pisk. Because it sounds a bit like piss. Apparently that's not any less funny the third or fourth time round.
The thing that I don't get is, why is the prize for winning a cookery competition having a mooch around a spaceship and getting a tease made, which seems worse than existing tease mates?
It feels like in 2050 there'll probably be a better way of making a cup of tea, i.e. just boiling the kettle.
From what I'm aware of tea's mates, I've never used one, but I'm vaguely aware of how they work. It's basically it's a kettle with a timer. You just set it up. Like, why does it have to be a massive picnic basket with two different types of tea? Why wouldn't you just have the hot water and then your lemon, the Indian or Chinese teas? Like, it seems like a worse thing than what already existed.
Yeah, it does really, but...
Why is the prize for a cookery competition going round a spaceship?
Like,
this is really bothering me.
It does not make any sense as a programme.
No, I mean, if it was like, oh, you know, she invented X, Y and Z, or even if they put a little bit more into it of, oh, she invented a meal for astronauts or something, then I'd be like, okay, fine, spaceship, that makes sense. It's like going on Bake Off and your prize is, like, fucking around in Tesla with Elon Musk. Like, you know, doesn't add up. I mean, it sounds like something Elon Musk could do for clout. Like, get fucking pre-release to get a shit-faced on run behind a fucking Tesla truck, Cybertruck things, but it doesn't make sense, and it really preoccupied me for the entire episode. It was so annoying.
There was a bit of a recurring theme of, here's something futuristic we've invented that's much worse than the things that already exist on Earth. Like that replicator thing, oh, because it can't get anything right, and, you know. And it's like, they said, so it's not a replicator. It's a thing that gets the things out of storage for them.
It's basically how Argos works.
It's Argos in space.
It's space Argos. You type in the code you want. It tells you it's out of stock, or it sends the wrong thing flying down a conveyor belt and some bored teenager just hands it to you. Except the space version, you cut out a bored teenager.
But why do they have a fish in a fishbowl in storage? What use would that serve? So, the other thing... Oh yeah, and the replicator makes fart sound.
It does make fart sound.
And that's hilarious.
Let's be fair though, in the totally real live audience, not at all canned laughter, there was distinctly one woman absolutely having the time of her life.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's some jokes in there that seem to fucking elicit cardiac arrest from some members of the audience. Which kind of makes it weird. If the audience... I think if it was played in front of a live studio audience and it got the genuine reaction it deserves, which is like a mild chuckle. If you know, Mrs. Noah says, oh, I love tea, me. And then the audience go, yeah. Then that'd be about right. But it's the fact that, you know, they just say, okay, mission control, what's our status? And then the audience are just like, oh God, oh my God, oh, that's the best, funniest thing I've ever heard. Oh my God, I love that. It's so bizarre. Another of the problematic jokes I've seen, I don't know if this is problematic or just, you know, just kind of looking at it with today's lens, but when the guy gets the teas made out and he's like, oh, shall I be mother? And she goes, oh, the things you men can do nowadays.
Fuck it, breed men. On this podcast, we advocate breeding men.
Maybe it is a femboy breeding program.
See, I was right.
You were right. The space femboy breeding program has space come through.
Femboy trad wives in the future.
See, there are some other jokes in later episodes.
Hang on, I'm just gonna copyright the phrase femboy trad wives from the future because I'm making that film.
If you can say it, you can copyright it. There are a couple of jokes. I've not watched the whole series. I'm not going to watch the whole series. But there are apparently a couple of jokes, because I was reading up on it, that are like quite, you know, quite I don't want to say funny, but maybe like oddly prescient. There was one about the 101-year-old King Charles III. I don't know if William was even born at this point. He must have been. He's about 50 now, isn't he? I'm looking at when Prince William was born. Yeah, no, he wasn't born yet. So, yeah, the 101-year-old King Charles III. Thank God they didn't say King Charles III and Queen Diana.
They all knew that would go wrong.
Yeah. And also, just in general, the phrase, "Oh, the things you can do nowadays, whatever will they think of next?" Things like, sentences like that came up approximately every 3 seconds.
It's a shame that this wasn't, like, more beloved. Because just imagine, like, the children in need or Red Nose, they cross over between this and Doctor Who. Mrs. Noah is the new companion.
Come on, we need to get back to the TARDIS. Ooh, mind her, I've not worn me comfy orthopaedic shoes today. Oh, I can't walk that fast.
Shooting out were Molly Sugden and the duo that we no one knew we needed, but we absolutely deserve.
The dynamic duo. See, this comes down to, though, I think this premise had potential.
To you?
Yeah, I think, you know, fish out of water, woman accidentally blasted off into space, half the crew are experienced scientists, half the crew are just some guys who've just ended up there. I think that has...
Wait. Sorry to interrupt, I've just remembered something. Who is the dirty old man who is in the wank pod?
I think his name is Joe Black.
What, the drag queen? Drag performer?
No, although that'd be funny.
I would absolutely love to see Joe Black.
One random drag queen in amongst. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
The actor from Come Back, Mrs. Noah, not drag artist.
Yeah. Right,
so if we're recasting this, Shooty Gatwa's in there. We've got Joe Black, the drag artist.
Shooty Gatwa has cast us.
Who's our Molly Sugden?
That'd
be Daisy May Cooper, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Oh, it'd so be Daisy May Cooper.
I was just trying to get Brendan O'Carroll out of my head.
Aren't we all? There was a mention of Mrs. Noah's cat, didn't mention a pussy, which devastated.
There we go. I mean, that was one of the only jokes that I think was all right. You know what I mean? Is that they've been sprayed?
No, I don't.
I think it at least followed the structure of what a joke is. You know, it's like they've
it
been sprayed.
It was a joke, yes.
Ooh, my cat took weeks. Oh, no, you know.
It was a joke, granted.
But I think, right, if this was made by... I think if this was made by whoever wrote all the fucking Naked Gun films, it would have been good. Because there's so many jokes that are just based on misunderstandings and misconceptions, like, you know, like the ones in Naked Gun or an Airplane, you know. The, who are you and how did you get in here? I'm a locksmith, and I'm a locksmith, kind of jokes. So, like, there are some of them in there, but they just kind of cut them off preemptively, or they address them and don't just let them sit and be funny.
So what you're saying is, if it was written by the people who wrote Airplane and starred Joe Black, the drag artist, and Shooty Gatwa, so it would actually be good?
Yes. Yeah, there we go. This...
If it was completely different, it'd be brilliant.
Starring Shooty Gatwood, Joe Black the Drag Queen, Brendan O'Carroll.
Daisy May Cooper.
Written by Abrams and Zucker, is it? I can't remember the names, but yeah. Written by them. I reckon it'd be good. The last joke of the thing, you know, when she realises she's in space and she's not going to be getting down for a while. She goes, I've left a chicken in the oven. Why the fuck would you leave a chicken in the oven? Do people do that? Do people leave a chicken in the oven and then leave the house?
I mean, people do. Like, slow cookers are a thing.
I know, but I cannot leave one of them unattended. Do I just have too high anxiety to operate a slow cooker? Or
there are people who are just constant gibbering balls of anxiety. I've never met one. I've been assured they exist, but I've never met one.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
But, like, that was the whole thing. People have put a roast in online when they went to church and stuff, come back. That's your Sunday dinner. But I don't know why you do that for your day trip to the Space Centre, but then again, I don't know why you get a day trip to the Day Centre for winning a cooking competition.
You know, I feel like you just get a meal deal or something on your way.
I mean, it was Mackey's, I think.
Yeah, it was in the 70s, I think.
I know it was a thing, but was it a thing over here?
Okay.
I'm not sure when the first UK was. I mean, they'd be a wimpy. You'd stop for one of them, like a wimpy,
yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, only 1974, the first McDonald's opened in Woolwich, southeast London.
Wait, no, this is 2050.
Yeah, actually, no, you're right, but they might not have known that McDonald's was going to be so ubiquitous as it is.
Just on the way home from the space station,
stopping for a kebab.
Honestly, Molly subbed and eaten a kebab. That's the series finale.
Fucking cameo from Michael McIntyre, salad and sauce.
No, we're making it better, not worse. Don't mention Michael McIntyre.
Oh no, I'm fully making it worse. So the bit where she flies through zero G, I mean, it looked like arse because it was the 70s and it was on a sitcom budget rather than on a, you know, I mean, fucking Doctor Who at that time. You know, if they'd have tried to get that effect, it would have still looked pretty ropey at best. But it's a bit where he's like, oh, a small release of gas will help you propel you. And I was really just, because I hadn't got to this bit in my previous watching of it. I'd long since given up. So I was really just expecting her to just start farting away through the spaceship.
Oh, brilliant.
The other joke I did enjoy was when he's looking through, you know, on the dream machine, it's like historical, going through the hours and it's like, Walter Riley, Ringo, who was that? I think he invented the telephone. I quite like that.
Again, that was a joke.
It was a joke. It was a bad joke, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
It was functionally a joke.
It did exist as a joke. Yeah, I think there is some promise in it, but I just think the execution was so fucking abysmal. And it was so dated. I mean, I know no one can predict the future, but at the same time, do you really think fucking Real Housewife cookery competitions are going to be a thing in 2050? You know, probably not.
I mean, Bake Off's massively popular now, and there's MasterChef and shit like that. Like, reality shows are cheap to make.
I know, but it's not Mrs. Noah doddering around making a Bakewell tart, is it? It's, I don't know, I just feel like it's so, like, the concept of it, the fact that it's, like, a housewife is so dated. The outfit's being dated, I can almost forgive, because, you know, who knows? what might come into fashion in 2050. It could be fucking 1970s style BBC reporter type suits.
See, true. Something I've been thinking about, and it's just sort of come into place. How it looks dated and you can't predict the future. Star Trek started, like the very original Star Trek, in 66. What, 12 years before this?
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, Gene Roddenberry had a more than £2.50 an elastic band, sticker chewing gum, and some lint to spend on this, on Star Trek, but fuck me, this was so bad.
It's oppressive. It's oppressively beige, the spaceship.
That was the thing with, like, British sci-fi, though. There was a massive thing about beige.
Yeah, everything is just, you know,
beige and eggshell and grey.
Completely beige. It's quite something, but yeah, I mean, see what I mean? So, like, right, just to kind of look behind the curtain of this little endeavour, for any of you who care, both of you. When me and Brett were first discussing, when two white people were having a conversation and thought, this should be a podcast, I was looking through the Wikipedia article that we are referencing, the worst TV shows of all time article.
Two white people in their 20s and 30s talking about starting a podcast.
You know, so it's like, I was looking through this article, I was reading a few out because it was quite funny, and then Brett said, you know what, this is a podcast format, I reckon we should put a lid on this now and do it in front of a microphone in a couple of weeks. And I thought, you know what, that is a cracking idea, so we did it. But what I said in that was, come back, Mr. Noah, I've watched, and there are no jokes in it. Like, and you went, oh, what, like Mrs. Brown's Boys? But it's not, because Mrs. Brown's Boys has bad jokes in it that aren't very funny and are dated as fuck. Come Back, Mrs. Noah does not have any jokes in it. They literally, it's just a conversation between, you know, two or three people, and then there's a laugh track at a random moment where someone says something that sounds a bit like bum.
It relies heavily on the characters being quirky, but they don't really do anything quirky.
Yeah, I think for this to work, the characters would need to be a bit more interesting.
Yes, they would need to be a bit more.
Yeah, just have something about the characters, because it's like, you know, so, not to fucking harp on, even though I already have, but Red Dwarf, you've got the lazy slacker, you know, dog's body kind of guy. You've got the...
I thought it was a cat's body. Admittedly, I've not seen it. I thought it was a cat's body.
I will kill you one day. You've got the guy who's just got every job and he's a grunt and he's lazy and he doesn't give a shit about his job. You've got the guy who desperately, desperately wants to be a commanding officer but just isn't good enough for it. The sort of ambitious type. You've got the sarcastic computer. You've got the self, you know, vain, self-absorbed cat character. And you've got the, you know, sarky but still quite deferential robot. So these are all, like, characters that bounce off each other really well. In Come Back, Mrs. Noah, you've got an old woman who gurns at a sexist remark every so often. You've got a reporter who has zero character whatsoever other than being a bit cowardly. You've got a captain who, you know, looks at the start, at least, in control of things. You've got a sort of assistant character who, again, is pretty in control of things. And you've got the sort of maintenance man who's a bit dim, but that's about it. So there's not really, you don't really get these character archetypes that make a show like Red Dwarf or like any other sitcom successful. You just kind of have some people.
See, I think it's more than that, because Red Dwarf, I know they're archetypes, but they're very different people, as well as very different archetypes. This just seems to be white, middle-class people.
Yeah, if it was like, you know,
like, vaguely different, but white, middle-class people.
If I was making it nowadays, I'd have bloody eaten, educated Tory boy versus, you know, working class inner city kind of person, up, you know, up with like middle manager type person who wants to fucking run the whole thing. You know, these kind of archetypes that we all know and exist in our daily lives. That's the kind of people you go for. You don't want a bloody neutron scientist and a whatever the other guy is. And a housewife, which is, I mean, at the time maybe, but nowadays you would not have that. And a fucking roving reporter and a light bulb repairman.
Okay. Mostly because I don't think we'll be able to Google this. I kind of want to watch some more. Purely because I want to know, is there a Mr. Noah? Because I don't remember that being mentioned.
There is. In the Wikipedia article, it does credit a Mr. Noah.
Then why should you be so worried about the chicken?
Oh, probably because he's a man. He wouldn't know what to do with a chicken. He can't cook, he can't clean, so it's all me who has to do all that for him.
Not going to lie, if I come home from wherever I was, there was just like a whole roast chicken ready to go, I'd be happy as anything. I'd file a missing person report eventually, but
I'd file a missing person report after I ate my rotisserie chicken.
Just sit in front of the telly with a whole roast chicken.
I'm just imagining you with just a fist up the chicken's arsehole, just eating it off your hand, while you're like, "Oh, I do hope my wife comes back soon."
No, you don't need your wife to come back. You're handing the chicken, it's all greasy, so you've got your seat. You can look after yourself.
No. This endeavour was a mistake.
Oh, have you got anything else you'd like to talk about?
I think just in general we should wrap up with a bit of a rating. How many points out of 10 would you give it?
I didn't actively hate it, but I didn't enjoy it. I'd call it like, because I know like what else is planned, I'm going to put it like 3 or 4, just so I don't start going to minus numbers immediately.
Yeah.
I'll give it 3.5.
That's fair enough. I'd probably say a 4. It's got promise, but it doesn't deliver. You know, there's the sort of, the idea is there, you can see the idea, but they've just forgot to put any jokes into it.
Don't come back, Mrs. Noah. Stay where you are. We don't need you.
And with that, thank you for listening to this shit show.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah, there we go. That was something.